There are many different ways and angles to better sustainability in beer. Many breweries are taking steps to be more eco-friendly, but there is also an important role that beer drinkers can play. Education on the consumer side can help elevate better practices and also play a part in the sustainability process. Take for instance the use of plastics in the market. We're all familiar with the PackTech can carriers. Did you know the PackTechs usually require special handling and often cannot be thrown in your city's recycling? Consider the amount of one-time use cups at beer festivals or events. Sometimes we get a false sense of sustainability because these cups are marked as compostable or made from corn-based plastic. Educating ourselves and being able to avoid greenwashing can help create demand for better sustainability and also help our environment. Rob Van, along with his partner Bob Kelly, started promoting breweries in Massachusetts and connecting drinkers with good beer. The result of their efforts have come together on the website massbrewbros.com. Rob caught my attention on Twitter with an article he wrote on this topic. Listen in as Rob breaks down some knowledge on recycling and what we can do as drinkers to better sustainability in beer. Thanks for checking out Branding Brews. My name is Ryan, your host, and also the owner of Craft Brew Creative. With over 15 years of experience in branding and design, I am able to bring my knowledge not only to this show, but to great clients that make great beer. From the essentials like websites, labels, tap handles and sales sheets, to merchandise and vehicle wraps, Craft Brew Creative would love to help develop a cohesive and strong brand for your brewery. Craft Brew Creative thrives on delivering value through a collaborative, fun, and interactive design process. Whether you're an existing brewery or a brewery in planning, Craft Brew Creative will be a valuable partner to your team. If you are in need of any design or marketing services, I would love to get in touch. Head on over to craftbrewcreative.com for more information, or just feel free to email me, ryan@craftbrewcreative.com. All right, welcome back everybody to another episode of Branding Brews, and I'm your host, Ryan Wheaton, founder of Craft Brew Creative. And today I'm excited to be joined by Rob Van, who is part of Mass Brew Bros. And he wrote a great article on, the article title is called How to Be an Eco-Friendly Craft Beer Drinker. And I came across this article through the universe of beer Twitter. I thought it was really well written and went pretty well in depth. I'm always a big fan of sustainability, and I think it could really be beneficial for your brand to promote sustainability. But yeah, Rob, how's it going, man? I'd love for you to kind of give an introduction about who you are and what you got going on with Mass Brew Bros and just kind of some of your background.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on the show, Ryan. It's a really cool topic that I'm kind of excited to talk about. So I'm a co-founder of the Mass Brew Bros. Our motto is spreading good beer, and we strive to be the go-to website and social media presence for all things craft beer in Massachusetts. And what sets us apart, I think, is that we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. And what I mean by that is that we've literally been to every one of the more than 150 now visitable breweries in our home state. So we have good, solid relationships with not only consumers, but with the breweries and other people in the industry as well. And we kind of look at ourselves as a bridge between consumer and industry professionals in the breweries. So
that's cool. Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds like it's, I'm sure, a needed thing. I'm sure all the breweries and everything around you and like the guild or anything like that that you have around is probably happy to have you promoting local beer and stuff, right?
Yeah, we've been really lucky with that. We got in early on, so we're about 5 years in now from when we very first started. So we've had a lot of really good relationships, including, the Mass Brewers Guild and pretty much every brewery in the state, and a lot of followers who are really kind of excited and interested in what we're doing. And we provide a lot of cool information on all the new breweries that are opening, and as you know, it's a pretty dynamic and fast-moving industry right now. So,
yeah, no kidding. Cool. Well, and then kind of your background, like how did you get into getting this whole thing started? Like, what's your background in beer? What was your interest in creating this whole website and social presence and like promotion of your local Massachusetts beer?
Yeah, so Bob and I were just a couple of regular guys who enjoyed drinking craft beer. We are slightly on the older side compared to the average sort of craft beer drinker these days, which might be millennials or younger. And we started recognizing that some really cool things were happening that were a lot different from when we were in college, when it was out here, at least, was like Sam Adams, Harpoon mostly, and not a whole lot else going on craft beer wise. And so we just got some stupid, goofy, like what my wife calls auto mechanic shirts. We put our name on the back. We put a drinking nickname on the front, started wearing them when we would visit breweries and go off to festivals and things. And it sounds silly, but people would take notice and be like, Brew Bros, they got, you know, these professional work shirts. Who are these guys? And it kind of opened some doors to us and really helped us get some access to people who would otherwise not have really thought much about who are these two guys or just a bunch of other guys drinking beer. And so from there, we started realizing that things were happening so fast that it was really hard to find information. We were working our tails off to figure out who were all the breweries around the state and what were they doing. Taproom sort of culture started to take off as well. So we started up a Twitter account first, got a bunch of followers on that who were having a lot of fun, you know, sort of following our adventures. Then we figured we should make a website so that other people that wanted to do what we were doing could do it more easily. So it has a map of all the breweries in the state, a list of all the breweries in the state, and a bunch of other useful things. Then we just, you know, added a Facebook account and added an Instagram. And it's been really fun. It's been a lot of grassroots sort of following and a real organic sort of steady growth for us. And it's been fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like the idea of how you started there. I mean, yeah, it's cool. It's just kind of fun whenever you go out and do something like that. It can be surprising, like you said, what doors can open up and how things can just unfold for you. I'm always a big advocate of just getting out and doing things. And even if you feel like, you know, or when you're starting something, if you feel like you're not even really the person to, you know, that has a background to do it, or I feel like if you just get out there and do something, start doing something, it'll actually start building momentum, and you know, something will become of it, you know, better than I'm sure you would ever imagine. So that's really cool, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It sounds a little corny, but the craft beer culture is, in our experience anyways, different from a lot of other industries, and people are far more willing to take the time to talk to you, and like you said, you can build something up if you really want to.
Absolutely. So let's dig into this article you've got a bit. Again, so it was a two-part article series, but the title was How to Be an Eco-Friendly Craft Beer Drinker was the main part of the title there. Why don't you give us a little background about what inspired you to write that and just kind of maybe set up the kind of picture of this article series before we start digging into some more kind of nitty gritty.
Sure. Yeah. For me, the story is important because I have as much of a passion for nature and the environment as I do for craft beer. And I'd like to start also by saying that I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to vilify the craft beer industry in any way. Admittedly, our environmental problems, especially things like single-use plastic, are a bigger concern in other industries. And the problem's only going to be solved with a sort of a cultural sea change in the way we buy and consume goods. That's especially important for smaller breweries who can't really afford to invest in some of the bigger, more meaningful efforts and technologies that maybe bigger regional breweries can. That said, as the co-founder of the Mass Brew Bros, I do have the ability to reach our audience. The craft beer industry and its consumers, especially the local community, and with an eco-friendly message, I really wanted to see if I could do that, because no one in the eco sort of area is probably going to pay that much attention to me, but people in Massachusetts at least will know who we are, and they'll be willing to sort of listen to what we have to say and think about it. And I'm also drawn to craft beer because I feel like it's at least part of the ethos for me that often surrounds craft beer is that it's different. It's more about community, more about connection. And as such, I kind of feel like it should be held to a higher standard which means, you know, taking more eco-friendly approach in production, distribution, and maybe even in the business practices. So I decided to write about the consumer perspective on that because I wanted to empower readers by sharing ways that we can all make, you know, some changes in our own decisions and how we can take more ownership and hopefully have a bigger impact that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think out of the heart, I mean, I think a lot of beer drinkers love, you know, adventure and outdoors and those kind of things. So I feel like there's a bit of a natural connection a lot of times with wanting to care for the environment, you know. And I think I would also say because, you know, so many of your ingredients, you know, you're relying on quality water, you're relying on quality ingredients that are grown from water that are grown out in farms in the environment. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of a tie there between being like sustainability thoughtful and like with the whole craft beer thing going on. So that definitely seems to make sense.
I agree. And I think a lot of breweries, you know, when I spoke to them, they were very open and frank and honest with me. Almost all of them, you know, said that they take this issue seriously. It's something that's definitely on their radar. And it's something that they're trying to work on. So that I found to be really sort of encouraging. There's a lot of work to be done, but it seems like most of the breweries that I spoke with, at least, and this included some of the bigger heavyweight breweries that don't always get back to just some little beer blogger or social media presence, they were willing to talk to me and, like I said, share some really helpful and honest insights.
That's awesome. That's great. Cool. So, yeah, in your article, you mentioned that the U.S. is facing a recycling crisis. And I think that many folks are not aware of this, or maybe they just don't really understand the severity like of this issue. Can you kind of maybe explain the issues that the U.S. are facing right now with the recycling going on?
Yeah, and I would put myself in that category of not quite understanding it all, at least with a lot of depth before I wrote
it. It can be totally complex too. I mean, and besides what we're talking about, what I'd like to talk about with the whole China thing, but there's also the complexity of different municipalities too, and what they recycle and how they sort it and all that stuff like that. But
no question.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that in there, but, I'd like to kind of, sorry to interrupt you there. I'd like to kind of talk about the whole China situation and everything.
Sure. Let me maybe throw out a few thoughts and then we can sort of get to that scenario. So just a couple of mind-boggling things here. The average American generates about 4.5 pounds of waste a day. As a nation, we're responsible for almost a third of the world's waste at this point, even though our population is, you know, only represents just under 5% of the whole world. Another sort of unfortunate thing is that about only 9% of plastics actually get recycled. The 12% more of those end up getting burned, which means there's all sorts of harmful air pollution, acid rain, dioxins, toxic ash, all kinds of stuff associated with that. And then the rest of that, almost 80%, basically goes to landfill, which causes its own set of environmental issues like groundwater, air pollution, and sometimes it just ends up getting dumped if it's in an area of the world or a part of the U.S. that doesn't have good facilities. Sometimes that ends up in the ocean. It can harm wildlife. None of that's really biodegradable in terms of plastic. So it all is mostly turning into what we call microplastics, which are these tiny little bits and pieces of plastic. And that contaminates soil, can poison wildlife, and all sorts of other issues. I mean, the bottom line is that the current rate at which we're producing plastic, much of it in, you know, packaging and in single-use items, it's just not really sustainable. So to the China situation, we started vamping up recycling in the U.S. a couple of decades or so ago. And at that time, China initiated a real industry in recycling. And when they would ship all sorts of goods over here in container ships, those ships would go back empty until they started to realize they could take all of our plastic recycling and other materials too back over there on these empty ships. And then they were able to sort of use that, recycle it themselves and create different products and things. So it was a really good relationship for a long time for both them and for us because we were able to get rid of our waste and not have to have our own facilities here. and they were actually paying us for those plastics and other things. But about January, I think, of this year, they basically, China banned all or almost all imports of our recyclables because they were starting to grow really concerned about the pollution. They couldn't keep up with all the plastics that are out there now in the world. They were having health concerns and problems in their own country. And that sort of really pointed out our major flaw, which is not having enough facilities in the U.S. to really do much with our own recycling, especially because we're not good recyclers typically in this country. We have a lot of what's called contamination in our recyclable bins. So we throw things in there, but there's still all sorts of food waste and things in them. And that makes it very difficult or sometimes impossible to actually recycle things that are even, you know, should be recycled. So we don't really have a market to sell our recyclables anymore. That means it's getting a lot more expensive. Just a couple of years ago, you know, it was pretty profitable. Now it's not so much. I think I read a statistic recently that said roughly 1,000 recycling centers in California have closed just within the last 2 years because they can't make enough business. Other things are happening. In my own state, we're starting to close landfills. That's creating some real problems. Hopefully we're going to invest in more recycling infrastructure here in the U.S. rather than shipping it all out on the slow boats back to China and Southeast Asia, but we'll have to wait and see. Again, I think changing consumer habits is sort of the real long-term solution, and there's no such thing as throwing something away, which is what a lot of people sometimes think of when they drop things in the trash can or in the recycling bin.
Yeah. I had a previous episode where I interviewed a gentleman that works at a recycling center here that's doing a big movement. It's called Bottle Drop, and it's Bottle Drop's the facility, excuse me. But he's doing washable bottles, washable and reusable bottles. So yeah, we kind of dug into the complexities of recycling, you know, in different states, different municipalities, stuff like that. So it's just crazy when you start thinking about all the stuff that you know, different levels of plastics and like all that stuff about how recyclable they are and how many times they can be reused and how different facilities handle stuff. And I know you mentioned California. I used to live there and in the Central Valley of Modesto, and they stopped their recycling program through the city, through the waste.
Sure.
So basically, yeah, like you have to like do your own recycling. You have to take it somewhere that would take it, you know, like it's just, like you said, investing in recycling to make it better, I think would be great. And again, it's so much of this is going to come down to the consumer as well. And going into this next question, like, I think people can have a false sense of security when they think that like, oh, if I recycle this, I'm being like eco-friendly. But there's a lot to recycling. It uses like energy during the process. Not all materials are as recyclable as you might think. You know, for instance, like just mentioned, different kinds of plastics have different recyclability. And so I'm really glad you touched on this. And I think like, especially with the explosion of cans, you know, obviously these PackTech carriers that are the kind of like the rings on the top, like the six packs or four packs. Can you kind of go into that whole situation in regards to the recyclability of those and kind of
Sure. So you're right. The false sense of security on the part of the consumer that you mentioned is a very real problem. And it's often referred to as what's called aspirational recycling, meaning that people have good intentions or hopes that something will be recycled when they drop it in those bins. But in reality, a lot of it won't get recycled. And it's only exacerbated, unfortunately, by what some people call greenwashing, which is sort of disingenuous marketing efforts by companies who claim that their products are recyclable when they know full well that their products aren't actually getting recycled, because with few exceptions, the infrastructure for those types of products isn't really in place. It's easy to recycle a water bottle or a regular aluminum can or maybe newspaper or cardboard, but you start getting these other small types of plastics, and it gets a lot more complicated. So the irony of the plastic can carriers like Pactex, and there are others, but they seem to be the dominant player in the field right now, is that they're made out of post-consumer recycled materials like milk jugs, which is a good thing. But they rarely get recycled when thrown into municipal curbside recycling bins because, you know, the material isn't the problem. It's the recycling processing facilities that aren't equipped to sort them properly, unlike many other countries where there's, producers that have to follow certain specific rules on what types of products they can produce. We don't do that very well here in the U.S. There's not a lot of producer responsibility. So companies like Pactec and others, they can pass that expense on to the taxpayers. It's prohibitively expensive, unfortunately, for most cities and towns to invest in new technologies. So what happens most often is that their products simply end up in, you know, landfills or waterways. And I think the only practical way to recycle them is to have them collected separately and delivered to a facility that can and will actually accept them. So to their credit, at least Pactec has started a recycling program. They claim to have 200 collection locations around the country. Unfortunately, there's nothing in Massachusetts currently. They said they're working on trying to secure a recycling and processing partner for our state, but as of yet, they haven't been able to do so. And again, I think greenwashing also goes against the common wisdom anyways of sort of reduce, reuse, recycle. So when you reuse something, that's better than nothing, or when you recycle it, better than nothing, but it's sort of skipping over the whole important first two steps, which are to reduce your use in the first place, to reuse it whenever possible, and then as a last resort to try and recycle it. If people wanted to get really deep into that topic of Pactex, Growler magazine did an awesome story on it, I think last year, called The Craft Beer Plastic Problem. So something that people could look up.
Very cool. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I'll have to take a look at it. Yeah, the first time I ever saw those Pactex when they started coming out was the brewery that I got the six pack from. They were like, oh yeah, bring it back. You know, we can recycle it. And my initial thought, because they're so heavy duty, the first time I saw those things, I was like, oh, well, maybe they just like take them and just reuse them right away. And I think you mentioned in your article that there are some folks sort of looking to actually reuse those Pactex carriers versus recycling them. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there are a couple breweries, at least in our part of the country here in Massachusetts and maybe elsewhere too, that are definitely trying to do some good things in terms of sustainability. So the one that I know of that is doing it here in Massachusetts is called Stone Cow Brewery. So they started what they called a can carrier movement. That was just a post that they did on Facebook, and it really sort of blew up. So they take back the plastic can carriers, Pactex, and any other types as well, and they will, you know, clean them, disinfect them, and then reuse them. And to date, they've packaged more than 6,000 cans with these reused carriers, and they've generated a fair amount of buzz on social media. When we shared that post, a lot of people were kind of excited about that. It was a really simple, easy strategy that consumer and, you know, brewery could use. So again, it's not the perfect solution. It's the second step, right? It's the reuse. But it does skip over the priority, which is to reduce. And unfortunately, once the carriers get damaged, which inevitably they will, then they end up in recycling bins, which again, as we've discussed, means probably they're going to end up going to incinerators, landfills, or waterways.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Well, since we're on this topic, I think I had this question down the road, but let's go ahead and jump into it now. I mean, you kind of mentioned the idea of the, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. And yeah, I think, again, it's going to have to be such a cultural shift that I think a lot of people aren't just going to be that aren't ready for, because unfortunately it's like, if it's not convenient, then it's something that people are just not going to adopt because it's just too much trouble to, in regards to, you know?
Yeah, sadly, I think that's fair and true. And again, people aren't informed. We're bombarded with so much these days that it's hard to take the time. It took me several hours to really dig in onto this topic. And then I dug in a little bit more for a few more hours when you invited me to come on the podcast. And just today, I got a couple more interactions on social media. And I'm probably going to spend another hour or two following those leads to learn all about this.
So great.
It is tough.
Yeah.
Can I share the better of the examples of what's sort of happening here for sustainability?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to kind of be cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're probably familiar with Treehouse Brewing. They're a pretty highly acclaimed brewery around the whole country. And they don't use plastic carriers at all. So when you buy takeaway beer at Treehouse, you walk out with a box, which one brewery founder, not from Treehouse, but someplace else, actually told us was considerably cheaper than the pack techs. Now, granted, Treehouse is in a unique situation in that they don't even have to distribute their beer. They are, I think, I looked it up recently, I think they're the largest non-distribution brewery in the country. They produced something like 44,000 barrels of beer this past year and sold pretty much every drop of it straight from their brewery, people coming there to either drink at the brewery or to buy the cans straight from them. So they are unique in that sense. But it's a really good example of reducing. So that's the top rung of the sustainability ladder, and it should sort of be the ideal for off-premises retail sales in the whole industry. Now, as you said, we're not all ready for that, and it might take a while. But if Treehouse can do it, I think others might be able to pull it off too.
Yeah, exactly. That's super cool. I think it's a great idea. And yeah, I guess, as you mentioned, it's for those breweries that have a lot of traffic into their tap rooms to buy beer versus the distribution out into retail environments. But that would be really cool to see some sort of way there to kind of help the sustainability. And I guess in a similar way, I guess if you have like printed cardboard boxes for 4-packs or 6-packs of your cans, then that, I mean, might be a bit of a similar thing in reduction of the plastics in regards to what's going to go onto a shelf as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely better than the plastic. The issue there is that does require some technology, which is relatively expensive. So if you're a regional brewery, you can probably afford to make that investment. But most of the microbreweries, that's going to be pretty tough, unfortunately, for them to pull that off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Treehouse, essentially, I was trying to do a little bit of investigation after I read your article. So it looks like mainly they just use those like 24-pack carrier trays to put their beers in. And then if you go in to buy stuff, then if you get a large enough quantity, they'll just give you one of those trays? Or how do you know how to do that?
Yeah, pretty much, unless you just buy two cans. If you buy any more than two cans, they just grab a box and they just put whatever you tell them you want right in the box. So you can order, you know, however many cans of whatever you want, because they're not pack-teched together. That's another actually cool thing as a consumer, is that I don't have to buy a 4-pack from Treehouse, which I really like that, because sometimes I don't want a 4-pack of everything. I might want to try 3 or 4 of their beers, but I don't want to walk out maybe with 12 of them. So that's another plus there. I say one of these, two of these, three of those, they just drop them in the box and you walk out. And that's your only choice. They don't give you any other options.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, that's great. So I think moving on, from the kind of idea of the pack techs or the plastic part of the packaging, another big area that you touched on that I think creates some false sense of sustainability is the like compostable plastics. I've definitely used plenty of quote unquote compostable cups and forks and plastics and those kind of things at different events. And so, I mean, obviously, like, people putting on these beer events, you know, these consumers are like, when you're at this beer event, you like look at this plastic cup and you flip it over when you're done with it and you're like, oh, it's compostable. But, and then sometimes they have like a recycling logo on them too. So I think it's, that's super confusing. Can you maybe kind of explain some of the false sense of securities that come with these compostable cups and like what goes into like actually using those properly?
Yeah, that would be great. Honestly, it's kind of depressing, but
Let
me give it a shot. So first, let's do a quick sort of a, maybe a vocabulary listen lesson for all the listeners. So in order of importance, I'll do the things that you have with your sort of materials. So you have biodegradable. If something's made from a truly biodegradable material, it's an item that breaks down into natural materials without causing any harm to the environment. And it's the only truly sustainable option. Followed by that, you have something that's called photodegradable, which if you remember the sort of plastic film six-pack rings that some breweries still use, a lot of them have switched to photodegradable plastic, which means it's better for the environment if they get in the ocean because they'll probably float, and if they do, they'll probably break down within a couple of weeks, so they won't ensnare and kill wildlife. But they only break down into microplastics, which sea life then sometimes consumes, so they're not ideal. And then lastly, there's what's called compostable, which means it'll break down under specific actively managed conditions, but that usually requires a commercial facility, at least when it comes to these types of cups. So it's not something that you can take that cup and just throw it in your backyard sort of compost pile or bin. So unfortunately, when you attend a festival or a special outdoor event, or here in Massachusetts, we have a lot of beer gardens, the PLA cup that the beer pourers happily inform you are made from plant-based materials like cornstarch and are therefore compostable. I'm using air quotes now.
Right.
They're not actually being composted, which is the depressing thing. So for that to happen, they'd have to actually have properly labeled collection bins. And they'd probably have to have volunteers sort of overseeing those bins so that they had their own completely separate stream from other recyclables or from other trash. And then those cups would have to be sent to an actual commercial facility that can compost them properly. The only one that I was able to find anywhere in Massachusetts is just a one-day-a-week seasonal pop-up beer garden run by Aeronaut Brewing. Which works with a local compost company called Bootstrap Compost, and they pick up the cups after the event is over, and they take them to a larger facility that they work with. But unfortunately, nobody else is doing that. And then whether it's disingenuous or just ignorance or maybe aspirational composting on the part of the breweries and their employees, I suppose that's debatable. But what isn't arguable, I think, is that either way, it is sort of greenwashing, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've asked about the cups and had somebody excitedly tell me that it was compostable, and I just sort of grit my teeth and, you know, sort of turn and walk the other direction, because who wants to get into a fight with somebody at a beer garden?
Right.
It goes against
over a cup,
the whole point of it. So the sad reality is that pretty much every place else beside this one beer garden we have, cups are either being thrown into the recycling bins, which actually decreases the likelihood that anything in that bin will get recycled, because it's sort of, when it mixes in with real recyclables, a lot of these processing plants just dump the whole batch because they can't take the time and effort to separate what's recyclable and what isn't. And in that sense, it just gets ends up tossed in a landfill, and it's estimated that for these compostable cups in landfills, it'll take roughly 100 years for them to actually break down. And again, they're likely to just break down into mostly sort of microplastics, which isn't healthy for the soil. It can't really be used for, you know, giving to farmers that can grow food with it, and it's not really something I think I'd want in my backyard. So it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I have a couple stories, I think, on that point. I mean, I've been to some events, and I think some of them might have been even sustainability focused. I know I've been to like a sustainability conference before, a couple of them. But there's been ones where they they have volunteers that literally stand in front of each like waste station, you know, with the different bins, right. And they'll literally like hand sort the stuff as it goes into the bin, just for that reason you mentioned. So there'll be a volunteer there that like you hand them your waste, and they'll be like, oh, here's a compostable cup, I'll throw this in the composting bin. And like, oh, you've got food waste, I'll throw that into this other composting bin or whatever. And so they'll manually sort it with volunteers, and that, I mean, like, that's what it takes, and it kind of sucks, but like, you know, I guess if you're focused on that and you got people that are willing to volunteer, and it takes a lot of commitment, but that's kind of what they had to do to get that.
Yeah, done. For sure.
I'll
say though, I mean,
it was
exciting for me to at least find one place that was doing it, even though it's one day a week. I can at least feel good about that and promote that. And there are enough breweries out there at this point and enough events that, I don't know, maybe we need to, if it matters to us enough, maybe we need to, you know, pick and choose where we're going to go to consume our beer. So.
Right. Yeah. And I think that leads to the next question, but one more little anecdote on this point before we go to the next one here is that I used to live in Chico, and Sierra Nevada Brewing has a really big sustainability focus. And my wife took a tour because she was an environmental science major. She took a tour of their facilities of their, you know, just promoting their sustainability. And I think they had one of those giant industrial composters because, you know, I have a restaurant there and they have all these other, you know, I'm sure brewery wastes that can be composted and stuff. And I think they actually, in their sustainability program, they were looking for the best sort of like single use items like forks. And so, yeah, they came across these compostable, you know, corn based plastic forks. And so they threw them into their industrial composter, ran it through his whole process, and the fork came out looking exactly like it normally would have. So, you know, they were like, you know what, I don't even know if this fork would actually compost. Like, we've got this industrial composter. So, it's frustrating the whole like false sense of like sustainability, like the greenwashing, sure, like you're saying. You provided seven steps to be more eco-friendly to help avoid plastics. I'd love, if you wouldn't mind, if you could just kind of maybe like run through those, and then we'll move on kind of like to the, I think the second article, which I think is the idea of drinking local, which I think goes back to the whole like reduce part, which is the first step of reduce, reuse, sure, recycle. But if you wouldn't mind running through those like kind of seven steps that you mentioned in regards to being.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I'd love to share some good news.
Yeah, right.
So these are seven things I came up with that, starting with sort of the easiest thing you could do to maybe the most challenging thing you could do. So if you're willing to make an effort, I think one thing you could do is try to purchase beer or try not to purchase beer that's packaged in plastic can carriers. And if you must, remove the can carrier, you know, from the cans as carefully as you can so as not to damage it, and then return that, if at all possible, to any brewery you can find, maybe a smaller one that's willing to accept it, or reuse it yourself, or save them up until you find a brewery or a package store or some facility somewhere at some point in the future that would accept them. Second one would be, you know, purchase beer straight from the brewery, and while you're buying it, just politely decline the can carrier right there and ask them if they can give you a box or bring your own sort of reusable bag to carry the beer out yourself. That way, if nothing else, the brewery at least is getting the message that some people are not interested in these can carriers, and maybe that gives them a chance to reflect on whether they really need them or not, or whether they could have the can carriers set aside separately. And if somebody says, yeah, I think I want one, then you snap it on. And if they don't, then you don't. I mean, again, it all depends on the brewery. When you're busy, that may not be practical, but for some smaller breweries, it could. If you want to go the extra step, I think something else you might do is seek out brands that use cardboard rather than plastic packaging. That's likely to be some of the regional bigger breweries, but that's one way to go. Another one would be, you know, voice your concern to breweries about the impact of plastic packaging. You don't have to be a jerk about it, but you can have a conversation. That's one of the things that's really cool about the craft beer culture. You can chat people up when you're at a brewery tap room, people that work there pouring beer, and sometimes even the brewer themselves are out there mingling with people. So let them know. I mean, if they don't think consumers care, then they're not going to consider making changes. I've got a couple more. You want me to do the next three? Or
yeah, let's just go for it. Let's go run through. I think these are great. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So then I guess if you're ready to go all in, I've got three other tips for you. One would be if your favorite brewery uses compostable cups, find out whether they're actually properly collecting them and sending them to a commercial composting facility. If not, again, have a conversation while you're at that beer garden or event and ask them to consider it, especially if you maybe know, like I do now, I know a beer garden that does it. And I could say, hey, this beer garden's doing it, and here's the company they're using, and this is what they told me about it. Another one would be to let breweries know that you're willing to pay a little bit more to support changes that benefit the environment. I actually found a study that was done at Indiana University, more than 1,000 beer drinkers, and 60% of them said that they would be willing to pay up to an extra $1.30 per six-pack if they knew that the reason for the expense was that the beer was being brewed and or packaged more sustainably. So I think that's pretty good news from the standpoint of the brewery. If they could save money by not using pack techs and, you know, have people be willing to pay a little bit more, that seems like a win-win from their end. And then the last one, I guess, would be if you're at a festival or a beer garden that only serves the single-use cups, and many do, seek out one maybe that doesn't. In our area, we are lucky we have this other place called Notch Brewing, which has a really cool traveling beer garden that they do with another group called the Trustees of Reservations. So they're beautiful natural locations, and they don't use any single-use plastic at all. They actually bring ceramic or glass branded mugs. You pay a deposit at the beginning of your drinking session, and at the end of the drinking session, you either keep the glass and they keep the deposit, or you basically just head up there before leaving and get your deposit back, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I was just thinking that when you were going through these steps about the idea of that, I've been to events where a similar situation where you either pay a deposit and they give you like a glass, or I've been to music festivals that have food carts in like a eating area, and instead of doing disposable plates and forks and stuff, you put in a deposit, get like a real plate of some sort and like real silverware, like flatware, and then when you're done, you just bring it back. They give you your deposit back, which I think is a great way to avoid single use stuff and kind of encourage you. And I like that idea too, because I was thinking, you know, these beer festivals and stuff, sometimes it's, you know, you could do glass, you can do like the glass tasters or even like the full size glasses, but then, you know, how often do you actually, you know, you collect so many of those, like how often do you actually put those in your cabinet and reuse them? You know, I feel like that might be a whole nother rabbit hole there, but the idea is really cool, that traveling one you're mentioning, how they put in a deposit. I think that's a really great idea as well, and just kind of wash and reuse those glasses. It makes a lot of sense in that scenario. So
yeah, but, and I think when more people maybe start learning and thinking about the issue, more and more people might be drawn to something like that. And again, if consumers are willing to do it or pay for it, then breweries will listen. So
yeah. So I'd like to kind of just for a little bit here, jump onto the second part of your article, which I think is cool because, you know, it's kind of going to the idea of going local. And I think so many people, I think there's been like a lot of hot debates on, you know, social media and whatnot about like drinking local versus like, oh, you know, drinking good beer. Like if you're a consumer, like does it really matter if it's local, if it's like a really good beer? So there's, you know, like a lot of people, I think they're on the side of like drink local, bro, and whatnot. So, but I mean, if from your perspective in this article and, just, you know, generally speaking, it's, it has bigger impacts on sustainability. So, and obviously, you know, with the whole idea of your kind of business, your website, your social media activity and all that stuff like that is in regards to promoting local, local breweries and stuff in Massachusetts. So, yeah, I'd love to kind of have you kind of run through the kind of second part of your article and the idea of going local and maybe ways people can get better sustainability by going to their local breweries.
Yeah, sure. Why don't I do two things? Why don't I give you, my sort of thought process and approach on, why drinking local makes a ton of sense. And then maybe we can just go through those sort of seven steps, and that'll give us a chance to touch on each of those topics really briefly.
That's perfect.
So I would, yeah, so I would first say I have done a lot of thinking and a lot of blind taste testing, and I don't mean just me in my kitchen with a blindfold on. Bob and I, one of the things that has set us apart from a lot of other social media presences and websites is that we've done a ton of blind tasting events with real consumers and other social media personalities and things. And we always amaze people that when they don't know what they're drinking, they don't always end up picking or choosing their favorite beers to be the ones that are most highly rated on Untappd or Beer Advocate or Rate Beer or whatever you might use. So I think that a lot of that, and I'll probably piss some people off, but a lot of that is sort of BS. There are so many great breweries now throughout the country that it seems a bit ridiculous to me to be thinking I need to drink a beer from California or Colorado or Pennsylvania or Michigan or Ohio or Florida or wherever. It's fine. It's cool, I suppose. And when I'm in those parts of the country, I by all means would drink their beers. But we've got tons and tons of great breweries in our own state, in our own region, and so does everybody else. So I would say that to me, that's one of the biggest reasons to just drink local, is because if you blind taste test things, you're not going to pick out what you think you can pick out. There's like 1% of the population who has a super high sophisticated Cicerone type palate who might actually be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like everybody's probably heard that funny sort of statistic that whenever you poll people on whether they think they're an above average driver, you get 75% of people saying, yes, I'm an above average driver. I think people's palates are the same way. Most people have an average palate, but everybody tends to think that maybe they have a better than average palate.
That's great.
So, all right, why don't we maybe go through again some sort of tips and ideas on to be an eco-friendly craft beer drinker and you want to drink local. So what can you do and why is that important? So again, if you're willing to make an effort, first off, you embrace the sort of inner locavore by choosing to purchase, you know, locally brewed beer whenever possible. And the obvious reason for that is it cuts down on all sorts of emissions for deliveries. I mean, if I'm drinking a beer from California, that beer had to get from California to Massachusetts. That alone, let alone any of the stuff we've talked about, that's a big eco sort of footprint. And again, if I blind taste test a really great beer, you know, whatever, Pliny the Elder or something, against, you know, a beer from Treehouse like Julius, they're both amazing beers. So start there, I think. And that's a pretty easy one. Anybody who's a little bit sophisticated could find some really, really great beers in their own area. So just do that more. I think two would be commit to driving a little bit less in the pursuit of beer, and maybe be willing to carpool when you do. We've met a ton of really fun people through social media and our website, and it's pretty easy to meet up with somebody And then if you're going to go to two or three breweries maybe that afternoon, just drive together. You're cutting down on those gas emissions. So, you know, a slogan I used in that piece was, you know, we all breathe local. So why do we want to encourage all that use of fossil fuels for deliveries from these far-off breweries when we can choose from amazing options that are being brewed right in our own state? The EPA, in fact, reports that almost 30% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. come from transportation. So that seems like a no-brainer, those two, to me. So another step might be, if you want to go the extra step, you know, frequent your local brewery tap room a little bit more, or maybe you're lucky like I am and you have two or three that are within your sort of neighborhood, and drink right from the source. That doesn't require any packaging. You're going to be drinking from, you know, glassware. It helps the bottom line of the brewery. They don't have to spend any money on packaging, on labeling, on marketing, or anything else. You're just drinking straight from there, and there's no distribution required. So breweries make a lot more money when you walk into their tap room, sit down, and drink right there from their tap room. So that, you know, seems, again, like a really good solution to do that. It also encourages these breweries maybe to consider adopting eco-friendly practices more, because hopefully if you're there as a regular, you can talk to them about things that you think are important. And if the environment is one, then they're going to listen, especially if you're there spending real money, more of which is going in their pocket rather than to other parts of their budget. And another sort of obvious one would be maybe to use public transportation, to hop on a bike, or to be willing to hoof it on foot to a nearby brewery. It's better for the environment and it's better for your health. So that was number four. Then I've got three more, and these are, again, sort of if you're ready to go all in. And this is where it gets tough. You have to really be committed. For takeaway beer, avoid any packaging waste by choosing breweries that offer refillable growlers. Might take some sacrifice, because not everybody's filling growlers these days. But glass bottles only get recycled at a rate of roughly 26%. And the aluminum cans that everybody's using nowadays are only getting recycled at a rate of about 55%. That's according to the EPA. And another quick tip on that is to peel off that little, or cut off the shrink wrap or the vinyl labels that most of the micro breweries, the smaller ones, use on their cans. That makes them a lot easier to recycle with those labels on them. Sometimes it can mess up the process. Regional breweries, you don't have to really worry about that. They're probably able to pay for pre-printed cans, so you don't have to worry about it there. Another one would be to promote the green beer cause, again, by voicing your desire for sustainable brewing efforts and maybe using your social media account to sing the praises of breweries that do so. I know that one of the things that's really brought to my attention is anytime now I see something that's a cool effort to be environmentally conscious, I'm definitely going to share that and sort of play that up on our social media as much as I can. All right, ready for the final one?
Let's bring it in. Let's do it.
This is going to be the toughest of all of them. So this is to join me. I'm doing a month of being an eco-friendly beer consumer, which means no single-use beer vessel waste at all. I have to drink everything from a growler, in other words, or at the location. Not burning any additional fossil fuels while traveling to and from the breweries. So I've got a bike, walk, or take public transportation, and I'm only drinking at the actual source, the brewery tap room. I did that for the whole month of June, and I think I'm going to give it a go for the rest of the year, as best I can.
Well, that's great, man. I appreciate that commitment. That's really cool. And I think people, and some of these ways that you're mentioning too, I think, once you actually get out and do them, like, you know, you might actually find it enjoyable sometimes, you know, like riding a bike, for instance. You know, I think some people are just used to like hopping in their car and driving down to the brewery that, you know, it might be like a mile or two away or whatever from your house, or 3 miles even. And if you're just like, oh, let's go take a ride, you know, ride our bike, it's a nice day outside, it becomes a whole new experience, you know. So some of these things can be, you know, like new adventures or whatever. So I think some of these things can actually kind of become fun or just different ways of experiencing your beer. So that's
tons of cool tours going on nowadays. That might be a business opportunity for somebody in a cool city like Boston or elsewhere that has a bunch of breweries that are nearby, you know, just a bike tour or a walking tour.
Yeah. I know there are a few of those around Portland too. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I know there's definitely beer tour buses, and I know there are some walking tours as well. And another one I've seen is those ones where you get on a giant group bicycle where you've got like 8 or 10 people on a bicycle and pedal it around.
I've seen that.
Those are a lot of fun, but honestly the one I got on was a challenge. It was pretty hard to pedal, and then you obviously need to be in an area that's pretty flat too for that to work well. But it was fun, you know. And I think I've heard there are other bikes that are actually, I don't know if it's the specific one I got on, but I think there are others that are probably a little bit easier to pedal. But yeah, some of these things are just new ways to experience beer that gets you out of a car, you know, or gets you, you know, into a more sustainable way, which is also cool. So
yeah, for sure. And like you said, it's probably more social too.
Yeah, right. And you look at it that way, right? Yeah, definitely more social. So that's very cool. So Rob, you know, again, I wanted to commend you on what you've been doing with the sustainability. Like you said, you've did the whole month of June practicing these things you were just saying, and taking it further. I think that's really awesome. And I think, you know, I think it's not necessarily that we're, as you mentioned, we're not pointing the finger at brewers, we're not pointing the finger at consumers. It's so much deeper than that. It's, you know, sometimes consumers think that they're being eco-friendly and all that, and it's just sometimes becoming aware of it or learning more about it, and again, it's gonna come down sometimes to convenience and all that stuff. So I think everyone, I'm sure, wants to do better at it, so it's just a matter of learning it, you know. So that's why, again, I think it's great that you wrote this article. Why don't you let everybody know, if my listeners that don't really know about your website and your social media stuff, why don't you let people know where they can find you online?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. And again, thanks for having me on the show. It's a really important topic and hopefully something more people can just think a little bit more about. So again, we're the Mass Brew Bros, MassBrewBros. And our website is just massbrewbros.com. We've got a lot of really cool, helpful information on there. If anybody lives in Massachusetts or is going to be visiting Massachusetts for whatever the reason, business, tourism, vacationing, we've got a lot of information there that you could use to figure out where are the breweries and what's going on. In terms of social media, again, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and on all three of those venues, our account is just Mass Brew Bros, same name, so.
That's great. Cool. Well, again, thanks for your time, Rob. I really appreciate all your insights. And yeah, I'm sure hope my listeners find that valuable. And thanks again for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ryan. Really enjoyed it. Cheers.